But first, let's talk about what's going on with central banks around the globe this week. As we mentioned, the Federal Reserve will be front and center, and its meeting is on Wednesday. And we look to find out when tapering could end, and thereby, by implication, when we could see interest rate increases. But it is far from the only central bank to be making that kind of a decision. Our Brian Cheung is with us now. And Brian, obviously, you know, we're not going to give equal weight to every central bank meeting around the globe. Well, we've got the ECB, we've got the Bank of England. What do we need to be paying attention to this week?
Yeah, well, especially ahead of the holidays, it's two turtle doves and then three major central banks making decisions towards the tail end of this week. But the first that's going to be announcing their policy decision will be the Federal Reserve on Wednesday. And the stakes couldn't be larger, especially after that 6.8% year-over-year print that we had gotten on inflation through the Consumer Price Index, as you'll recall, last week. That's really putting the onus on the Fed to maybe speeding up its process of trying to tighten the spigot on its pandemic-era monetary stimulus. But take a look, for example, at the Fed's last projections for their dot plots. This kind of shows you where the 18 members of the committee see interest rates possibly going over the next few years. And you can see, as of the last print that we had gotten, which was in September, of the 18 members, nine saw the case for at least one interest rate hike next year. The other nine saw the case for no interest rate hikes. The expectation headed into this next meeting, which on Wednesday we'll get an update of this particular projection, shows that it'll likely be tilting towards more likelihood of an interest rate hike or multiple interest rate hikes in 2022 than when they last offered these projections a few months ago. Really, what's going to be important here is also the timing of the taper, which we'll know involves the Fed's balance sheet, which the Fed has really inched closer and closer to $9 trillion. This is a process by which the Federal Reserve had already kicked off in the beginning of November. You'll recall that they had said at the time that they were hoping to pace a slowdown in the asset purchases that would really end the whole program of quantitative easing sometime in the middle of next year. Now the Fed says it could accelerate that program to perhaps stop the whole process of quantitative easing as soon as maybe the first quarter of next year. Now, this interacts very closely with all the other central banks because you see, as far as the calendar goes, the Fed announcing on Wednesday. Then we also have the Bank of England and the Bank of or the European Central Bank on Thursday. And then the Bank of Japan will be going on Friday. Now, all these banks, as you mentioned, Julie, not necessarily on the same path, but the story is largely true for most of these jurisdictions. You're dealing not only with the downside risk of Omicron, but you're also dealing with high inflation, which might be putting the pressure on these banks to tighten policy more aggressively, as is the case at the Bank of England, for example. Very interesting to see Andrew Bailey, the governor there, actually backtrack a little bit on his initial remarks earlier in the month, suggesting that maybe he was in favor of earlier rate hikes. But now with the Omicron variant, perhaps a bit of a pushing back perhaps on that aggressiveness, although, of course, we'll have to wait until that Thursday announcement to see what happens over in England.
Brian, perhaps you could do a real-time Yahoo You, because the theme of the morning on the street, and I wrote a little bit about this in the Morning Brief newsletter, that rate hikes next year, about three of them are priced into the market. For the average investor, what does that exactly mean?
Well, for the average investor, what that means is it's a possible reversal of the trend that we have seen in equity markets for that risk-on behavior. And especially when it comes to the Fed raising interest rates, it's not necessarily about whether or not it's going to be 25 basis points or 50 basis points or 75 basis points, as some might be betting for next year. But I think it's really about the turnover, the kind of approach that the Federal Reserve is going to have towards trying to get ahead of any sort of inflationary pressures, right? I think that when you talk about the rotation that we've seen into risk on assets, especially over the past few months, a lot of that sentiment has been driven not necessarily by, oh, we expect or don't expect the Fed to eventually raise interest rates. Everyone knew that it was going to come at some point. It's just the timing of that appears to be getting pulled forward because of the consensus that's growing inside the Fed that inflation likely isn't going to be as transitory as they had initially hoped for or forecasted earlier in the year. That could cause a big shift when it comes to whether or not people want to get into those riskier assets at that time. Now, of course, 2022 is also fraught with other types of uncertainty when you consider what is the Omicron variant impact going to be, what is the impact going to be of other types of variants, and whether or not inflationary pressures could even be worse than what we're seeing right now. Those are all likely things that investors might be weighing in next year.
Well, and also, Brian, what's interesting here is the breadth of the debate that continues about whether the Fed is behind the curve or not, right? There remains a sort of wide range of opinions on this. And I've heard, you know, everything from the Fed needs to tread lightly here to the Fed needs to not only raise, but raise more than the market is expecting, raise at every meeting when it once it does start to begin to do so. And so the question that Brian was bringing, that Saz was bringing up in the morning note about whether this is priced in, you know, maybe the expectation of what the Fed has communicated is priced in right now. But that doesn't tell us anything about how the market is actually going to react once this actually starts happening and we learn, you know, what the Fed is actually going to do.
Yeah, and I think that we need to kind of parse out exactly what the markets are being so sensitive about right now. And I think what they are being most sensitive about is not the tapering process. It's about the eventual rate hikes, right? Now, of course, the Fed's messaging is very much intertwined to both of those things. If you finish up the taper faster, that means you have more optionality and more flexibility earlier to eventually raise rates because the Fed has said it won't raise rates until it finishes up ending its quantitative easing program. So the Fed, by saying, well, we're going to speed up that process, means everyone's like, okay, yeah, maybe it's possible that there could be not only an earlier rate hike, but more aggressive rate hikes. But the problem with the messaging from the Fed is that it's all about optionality, right? And that was also the case when the Fed had its last rate hike cycle out of the financial crisis in 2008 and 2009, right? We know interest rate hikes did not begin for many years after that. But we have to remember, take a look at dot plot projections and Fed funds futures markets and every other Fed watcher in the years immediately following the great financial crisis. The default when it came to predicting the eventual liftoff, the first 25 basis point hike from near zero, was always earlier than what it ended up being. There were many times in 2012, 2013, where people were saying, this is going to be the year where the Fed finally lifts off. And as we know, that didn't happen until about 2 years after that. So the calls when it comes to an eventual Fed liftoff have in the past not been historically accurate. That also applies to the Fed funds futures market. So when we take a look at three priced in rate hikes for 2022 based off of those Chicago contracts, yes, it is indeed the case that some of the data and the messaging and the stance from the Fed does appear to be pointing that position, but it's not always a very good bet. As we've seen historically in the past.
Yeah, really interesting stuff and great historical perspective on all of that. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.